the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So it's time for the last word on TV and streaming. Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea with us. Joe, we're just having an issue with the line from Cork at present, and I had intended starting with Joe talking about Michael Lister, and I know that's probably, Elaine, you're not a big Sunday game fan, so we'll keep that until we make contact with Joe. But I'm interested, this is maybe slightly tangential, but I'm interested in poor Barry Keoghan and the online abuse that he says has become a problem for his acting. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so he has said in an interview on SiriusXM about the kind of level of online abuse he gets. He spoke specifically about abuse, about how he looks and things like that. And I mean, in Saltburn, if anybody's seen it, you see a lot of them in that. And there's reference made to that too. And he talks about the effect that it's had on him, the way he kind of actually feels obliged to nearly pull away from public life in some ways, because anytime a picture of him is out there or something like that, there will be some negative commentary. This happens with everyone who's a celebrity and who has an online profile. If there are comments there, nasty comments will be among them. And
so anybody in sort of movies and television like that, it seems there's a constituency of people who see them as fair game to make any sorts of comments about appearance or whatever.
100%. And I think for a lot of those people who make those comments, they probably don't see it as something that person will read and take to heart. But they are human beings and they are curious about themselves and the reaction to themselves. Anyone would naturally be that way. And they do see these things. And no matter how many good comments are there, if you see one bad comment, that's the one that's probably going to sit with you and haunt you. And he mentions as well about his son having to see this stuff as well. And that's also not nice. And it actually made me think of C-Matt's song that's out at the moment, Jamie Oliver, Petrol Station, which is literally about the waste of time it is to be throwing hatred at people that you don't even know, this kind of irrational hatred we get for people that are in public life. And to be fair to him, Jamie Oliver even is in the music video for that song. But one of the lines is, you know, the man's got kids and they wouldn't like this. It's trying to think of these people in the public eye as whole people. And if you have opinions about them, share them amongst yourselves.
Joe, I don't know how much that you actually heard, given that we've been having technical problems in getting established with you in Cork. But basically, Elaine is telling us about the treatment Barry Keoghan is getting from people online. You've worked for many years in the tabloid newspaper business, and it used to be that celebrities and others would complain, sometimes with a lot of validity, about the coverage that they received in those newspapers. But it strikes me at times that it's tame by comparison with what people think they can do and what they can say online.
Well, you're right. But I mean, there were certain rules, even with tabloids and even with the British tabloids, famously, the kind of like, you know, the guys will go the closest to the line. It's changed a lot for newspapers and for media organizations in general. You know, the stuff that people would get said about them in the 80s and 90s, especially the kind of really sexist stuff as well, you know, and also the kind of objectification of young women, you know, Sam Fox. You know, there was actually a countdown in the Sun to when she can reveal all, so to speak. They had like really, really young women there, and they were basically treated like sex objects. It's changed for the media, but it's actually, there's no rules really on social media, as we know, but as with everything else. There's no limit to what people will say, and the further you go, the better, the more reaction you get. And this is an attention economy, so you get people who are deliberately saying outrageous things about stars just to get that clout on social media.
Okay, now I've waited for you. There's a listener who says Michael Lister was also huge in Irish motorsport, rallying and circuit racing on Mondello. I think he would have been involved as well with Vincent Hogan, the former Irish independent journalist, in many rallies over the years. Elaine confessed she was not a Sunday game fan, so it wasn't worth talking to Elaine about the skills of Michael Lister over a period of over 30 years plus in conducting affairs as the anchor on the Sunday game. And as somebody I saw today said, very much the anchor, not trying to be a pundit or participant himself, but very much getting the best out of all of his guests.
Yeah, he was very old school. I remember seeing him on Sports Stadium when I was a kid, Saturday afternoons on RT, which was a 3.5 hour magazine show with a bit of everything. Back in the day when, you know, RT could get the rights to pretty much everything, they'd show, and he was the guy who anchored all of that, which took a lot of skill because you'd be going from netball to rugby to, you know, cross-country running, and he was always a very unflappable type of guy doing that. What's interesting to me about Michael Lester was he did start off, he 35 years with the one show. You know, that's Gary Lineker and Des Lynam put together on Match of the Day. You know, that's an incredible long span. And he did evolve because the show evolved. The only reason he was still there, you know, 30 years on later, is that when things did change, when you did have a more lively panel, you know, the likes of Pat Spillane, Gerlach Nann, he was able to actually get into that, never as a sort of somebody who'd offer his opinion, but very good at sort of allowing people to kind of go to where they wanted to go and keeping the conversation going and keeping the conversation kind of fair and stable as well, because he had some tough characters to deal with. Michael Lester was an incredibly good broadcaster who never really looked like he was working very hard. And I think that was his secret. I don't think you'd ever see him make a mistake. He'd never be, you know, he'd never seem to lose his cool. He was just a really, really good broadcaster. And it's a pity because, you know, he's a great loss.
Thoroughly decent individual. I didn't know him well. I did know him, but couldn't say I knew him very well. But everybody who has been talking about him, very, very upset. And he has had his health issues since his late 50s. He's been in the studio a couple of times where he was speaking about his heart condition and living with that and urging others to take care with things. So he will very much be missed, and I know I have a lot of mutual friends who will be very, very upset or are very upset at the news of his passing yesterday. He definitely was a major figure in GAA coverage for decades, as you say.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, I'll stay with you, Joe, because I think you've been listening or looking forward to the emergence of the pit on Irish television for quite a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting a long, long two years for this, and everybody will be delighted to hear that to see The Pit, the most talked about US drama in probably 2 or 3 years, you're going to have to get another streaming service, because HBO Max is launching in Ireland this week on Thursday, and The Pit is the one show that they're hoping will get everybody, or at least a lot of people, to spend either $5.99 for the basic package, which will give you all of the HBO stuff, including The Sopranos and a good long, I mean, HBO, my God, all the shows they have.
If you haven't seen The Sopranos, or if you haven't seen Succession or the Harry Potter movies and things like that.
Yeah.
But they also, I think, are going to have the football that was on TNT Sports, isn't it?
Yes, they are. They're wrapping that up into the bundle. So like I said, it's $5.99 for the basic service. I think it's $15. With the basic service, you're going to get ads as well, by the way. So you're going to be watching shows with ads while paying for the streaming service.
And you might not get the football from, you might not get the sports
shows.
No,
you might not.
That might be extra.
No. Yeah, that's extra. And actually, I think now are going to kind of do some sort of deal with HBO where I think you'll have to pay extra if you can to kind of pick games if you want, but also you'll have to go for the premium service, which I think is €15, to make sure you get every single thing.
Well, sorry, also there's a saying if you have Sky, that HBO Max will be free to you. It'll be part of your existing subscription.
Of the Sky stream. Yes, that's true. Yes, it gets pretty complicated
Elaine,
these
you
days.
Know this, do you?
Yeah, the basic ad package from HBO will be part of the majority of people's Sky packages. If you are eligible, you will have had an email from Sky explaining this to you and how to set it up. It's actually Sky TV is going forward with kind of an amalgamation of the streaming platforms within your Sky package. You'll get the ad-supported Disney package later in the summer. You'll get the Hey You, which is the reality TV streamer package included with your Sky package. And I think it's really interesting because new TV is starting to look like old TV. You're probably going to see other competitors trying to go down this route to compete with Sky, because Sky is now saying, okay, there's a new streamer on the market, but we've got it. You don't have to add anything. You just stick with Sky and you get access to everything. And if other TV providers don't go down that route, that you could lose custom to Sky, because The Pit is one of the most anticipated shows I can think of.
Well, one listener says The Pit is amazing. There are people who have managed to see it. Have you seen any of it?
No.
Have you, Joe?
No, because that would be illegal in Ireland and I would never do such a thing.
In other words, you haven't. You're just not admitting to it live on air.
Not on air, no thanks. No. It is brilliant.
So apparently it's a cross between ER and 24, some people are saying.
Yeah.
Very like ER.
Yeah. It's the same team and it's got Noel Wiley in it as well. And I loved ER. ER was fantastic. This takes ER and it gives it like a shot of adrenaline is the best way to describe it. And the most recent episode that was on this week.
Says he who hasn't seen it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, sorry. is what I read about it. The most recent episode had as ICE agents in it, and the whole episode was about ICE agents coming into the hospital to try grab people. So it's very much of in the moment as well. It's great TV.
Okay, well, I think that's a lot of people. When is that going to be available from? Later this week, is it, Elaine?
26th of March, I believe, is when it becomes available. And Friends Thursday. Is also something that HBO Max is banking on because that is...
What's Friends?
That is something that is continuously watched. It is continuously popular. Yeah. And it's actually a big deal that they've included rights to that.
Well, I noticed that. I saw the clip. I didn't watch Saturday Night Live UK debut, but I've seen the clip of the Keir Starmer sketch, which they opened with, which makes copious reference to Friends, doesn't it, Elaine?
When Friends came to the UK, which is actually funny because I reckon some of those comedians weren't even alive when that aired. But SNL UK getting mixed reviews, which is kind of exactly what I expected from this. This was always going to have a fairly rocky start. It's sketch comedy that can always be a bit divisive. Some will land, some won't. But I think this is actually a really interesting thing to come on the scene now in the UK. So Saturday Night Live is this concept that's been around for 50 years now in the US. And we know from watching clips over here that some of them don't translate very well or land very well. And part of what the sketch comedy environment is now is about having clips that can travel well online. So whether you watch this on television or not is kind of a moot point because you're probably going to see the clips circulating around online either way. And they've got the standards. They've got a guest host. It was Tina Fey for the first episode doing a monologue to open the show. They've got a musical guest act, which was Wet Leg, which is a great show for this opener season. And then they've got
Will Fallis
cast.
Is on the second edition.
Yes, excellent new album. And they have a cast of characters. And these are not household names in terms of UK comedy. And that, I think, is really an interesting thing and a good thing. So you've got Jack Shepp, George Fouracres, who looks like he's stolen young Bob Mortimer's face and makes me love him immediately. And Ania Magliano and Paddy Young, they seem to be kind of the lead cast members, judging from the amount of airtime that they were getting and the major sketches that they were part of. But these aren't household names now. This is a launchpad for UK comedy, which if we think about the TV environment in the UK right now, we used to have quizcom after quizcom after quizcom to showcase comedic talent and help them get bums in seats for their stand-up shows and stuff like that. They've kind of died off. There's some of them that are sticking around that are like untouchable, like Would I Lie to You and stuff like that. But that's not really an avenue for a lot of up-and-coming comedians right now. And this could now be an avenue to launch new UK comedies people. But I will say, in terms of live TV and comedy, they obviously got the audience hyped up and made sure that they were laughing along to everything and they were laughing a little bit too much, but that is the nature of the SNL format. I don't think any of their live sketches will ever be beaten by Vittorio Angeloni's live appearance on The Last Leg. And if you haven't seen that, do look it up because that's one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
Okay, Joe, did you see any of Saturday Night Live's UK debut?
I did. I did, and I saw Graham Norton kind of jump from the crowd and kind of help out a good bit, actually. And it kind of reminds us that he's got serious comedy chops, Graham Norton, actually. I thought it was better than a lot of people expected it to be. If there's going to be 8 episodes, I think it'll definitely be worth watching. I think it'll find an audience. Your man George Fouracres, I've never heard of him before. I'd never heard of most of the guys, and that's interesting, as Elaine said. It's great that they're giving kind of new people a chance, because I remember back to the classic kind of sketch shows and shows like this back in the 80s that the whole generation of alternative comedians came up on. So it's great that they're getting a chance. If you're into comedy, it's definitely worth to watch. And thank God it's not just another panel show. So it's definitely worth to watch.
Elaine, RT have a real coup for Easter Monday. Other Voices, the Foo Fighters in Dingle. That is a great coup.
an hour-long special of a show that they played to 80 people in a church. Like one of arguably the biggest active rock bands going at the moment, playing to 80 people in a church in Dingle. It was, when it happened, it came out of nowhere. It was being reported the day after as something that happened and we all missed it. And it was expected that it wasn't going to turn up in other voices until the next season, late next year. So to have this now as a special for Easter Monday, it's going out on RT2 at 9:30. I think this is going to be well watched. Foo Fighters have a new album coming out on the 24th of April, so it's good timing for them to get this out there ahead of the new season of Other Voices, the current season running at the moment, I should mention as well. And I mean, their new album also sounds great, and I would have been a long-term Foo Fighters fan, and I'm
saw them
going
a few years ago in the RDS. They were absolutely brilliant. Is this be a big one for the RT player, Joe? It can't go crashing if it's going to be available worldwide.
Yeah.
All the Foo Fighters fans suddenly wanting to see this.
Well, it's great timing, as Elaine said, with a new album coming out. They're back in the news. And the lead singer, Dave Grohl, has been very much in the news as well for all sorts of reasons recently.
About
his private life and everything like that. But it's fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. One of the best gigs I ever saw was them in the Olympia years ago. And it was a small little venue like that. They're incredible. So I can only imagine what it must have been like being one of the 80 people lucky enough to get into the church to see them.
Okay, Elaine, what's your pick of the week?
I am going to be checking out The Pit, finally. But I'm so excited for another HBO show that's coming back, The Comeback. And this show ended after two seasons over 10 years ago and actually had a really neat ending. It was quite perfect, but it was a cult hit kind of after its broadcast.
What was it about?
It is about a washed up sitcom actress trying to stage her comeback, and she is played by Lisa Kudrow. And Lisa Kudrow
is possibly one of the most talented member of the Friends cast.
100%. And if you don't think that, you will think that after you watch The Comeback. She is tremendous, and she is the driving force behind this character, Valerie Cherish. And very much the way Catherine O'Hara influenced the characterization of Moira Rose on Schitt's Creek, that is what Lisa Kudrow brings to the characterization of Valerie Cherish, which she walks this amazing fine line between attacking things with grace but also sheer desperation, because she wants so much to regain her heyday of fame, but she also understands the stakes of that means, like, she is going to be exploited by this industry. It is the nature of the game that she's playing, and she does it with such great comedic timing, great comedic talent as well. Now, the new series, season 3, is taking a different take to the previous seasons. They were very much a mockumentary style. It was kind of behind the scenes footage of filming of a mockumentary, and everything was through the lens of her documentary team. This season is different. It's a bit glossier. There's content that's not meant to have been captured by the documentary team, but she's also now got this social media manager capturing her every mood as well. And she happens to be Ben Stiller's daughter. So it's a debut on screen, I believe, for Ben Stiller's daughter.
Okay, that sounds very much like watching The Comeback. And Joe, your pick is an old favourite of yours going into season 5.
Yeah, everybody's got that one TV show they won't stop annoying people about. And for me, it's For All Mankind, which is on Apple TV. There's been 4 seasons already, and it is prestige drama of the highest quality, and it's criminally ignored by most people. Basically, it imagines a future where a past as well in the 70s, where the space race never stopped, where the US, Russia, China and others kept going, went to Connolly on Mars in the 80s, on the moon and then on Mars. And it's sci-fi, but it's not really. It's family drama. It's generational family drama. It's politics. It's science. It's space. It's nail-biting action. Watch, if you haven't seen For All Mankind, start watching the first season now and work your way up to the new season, which starts on Thursday on Apple TV.
Okay.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Joe Shea, Elaine Burke, thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.